Look at a passage of Scripture, Philippians chapter number 4, and very familiar for many of us, and some wonderful thoughts that should help us as we go into a new week. Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to direct your attention, first of all, to verse number 7. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 7. I'm going to ask you to, we won't be in a hurry. We'll just read this verse carefully and thoughtfully. Let's do it out loud together. Philippians chapter 4, I want to make sure everybody's there. Chapter 4, verse number 7, would you begin with me? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Oh, stop right there. Let's say that again, all right? And let's let it sink in. You did a great job. I just want to say it again. Ready? Here we go. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you'd help us tonight. I pray that you would help us to be attentive to the preaching of your word. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts, Lord, and that we'd be fed by your spirit and by your word. Help me. I pray that you'd go before me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, help me out now. As you look at that verse, I'll read it one more time for you. It says in verse number 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Can you help me out tonight with a word? Now, we'll see if anybody can come up with it, but it's a word that you hear all the time in our common world in which we live that would be it's something that we experience that would be the complete opposite of what we just read there. There's probably a few words you could think of. What would it be? If you could think of a word that would be the complete opposite of what the Bible just described in verse number 7, what would it be? Anxiety, okay? Turmoil. Oh, somebody said it. Okay, oh, that wasn't it, but that's chaos. All right, these are all good words. Pressure. Okay, pressure. War? Well, that would be the opposite of peace, absolutely. That's probably the best one, right? War. This is not talking about peace, though. For you kids, this isn't talking about peace that has to do with people fighting against each other in the battle sense, but it has the idea with people having a struggle or a war in their heart. That idea of pressure, also referred to by pop psychologists as a little word that starts and ends with S, and that would be the word altogether, stress. Have you ever felt stressed out? Have you been stressed out? Now, Billy's like, nope. Sits there, he's got his head firmly supported. Are you worried about your head falling off? But you got it supported there. But he's not worried at all about stress. That's great. Now, how to know if you're stressed out? This list may just stress you out, okay? I love these things. I read it and I'm like, oh no, I'm stressed. Do you think I'm stressed? I could be stressed. What am I going to do about that? And then you just get yourself. You're like me. Anybody just a little neurotic? Just some of us, just a little bit, okay? Maybe just me. Yeah, a lot, okay. Well, here it comes. Ready? How to know you're stressed out. You can't focus. You mean that's not normal? No, you can't focus. Number two, you aren't taking breaks. Boy, we heard about that in the message this morning, didn't we? Mary and Martha, great message this morning. Number three, you aren't having fun. You aren't having fun. Number four, you've lost your sense of humor. Now, for some, it's hard to lose what you never had, but nonetheless, you've lost your sense of humor. Number five, you don't feel inspired, creative, or playful. Or energetic. Not there. Number six, you're grumpy or irritable a lot. Number seven, you get impatient easily. Number eight, sleep and rest aren't happening. Number nine, you have trouble sitting still. Number 10, you feel jumpy or on edge. Number 11, you aren't breathing deeply. I don't know what to make of it. Yeah, everybody, in and out, right? Feeling better now already? just sometimes in and out. Isn't it funny, though, that actually works to calm a person down? There's the nurse, there's science to that there, right? Okay, great. I'll take that as a wholehearted medical endorsement right there. And then number 12, you're not present for loved ones. Not present for loved ones. Stress has an effect on our lives. Now, how many of you would be like, man, I would just love to live a stress-free life? Anybody would be like, yeah. Well, unfortunately, I don't have a solution for a stress-free life. Because in all of life, there is going to be pressure put on us, right? I mean, that's not, if we're trying to, if you want to escape pressure, then you have to escape responsibility. Do you know what I mean? If you're a dad in here, you have responsibility for your family, for your children. You have responsibility to provide for them. How many of you know that is stressful at times, right? So stress so as we think about the peace of God, it's not that all of the pressures of life disappear. It's that in the middle of our pressure, we don't experience the fruit of stress. We experience the filling and the fulfillment of the peace of God that passes all understanding. So tonight I want to give you a message really simply entitled this, A Prescription for Peace. If you went to the doctor and you said, Doctor, I am just so stressed out. I'm just so stressed out. Well, he'd probably give you some advice. He may even write you a prescription. That may help temporarily. That may not help at all. I don't know. I'm not a medical professional. But either way, he'd give you some advice. But before I did any of that, before I went to any measure like that, I would first and foremost want to get to God's Word and see what is God's prescription for peace. Amen? Me and you, we're on board with that? All right, we're going to be real peaceful as we go out of here tonight. We don't know about the rest of them. But God has a prescription for peace, and it's found right here in Philippians chapter number 4. Listen to these statistics. Stress is up. That's a headline. All you do is put stress statistics in your Google machine and hit the news, and you'll see these. That's where I got all these. These are all headlines. You ready? Stress is up. Most Americans are suffering from moderate to high stress. Do you know that word stress was never used in this context until the 1950s? People never used it to describe what we're talking about. But it's up, with 44% reporting that their stress levels have increased over the past 5 years. Here's another headline. Workplace stress, a main cause of mental health issues, study finds. Young adults, here's a headline. Got some young adults in here. Young adults spend, according to this mental health study, young adults spend more than 6 hours per day feeling stressed out. That's a lot of time. That's a big chunk of your day. We wonder what's going on in our culture around us as people are falling apart, relationships are falling apart. Think about that number. Now, I know studies are studies and you can do what you want, but just the fact that this is the conversation that's going on. It's estimated, from Canada. Now, in Canada, anybody been to Canada before? Okay, they're real laid back. I'm not talking about French Canada. We're talking about like Ontario and West, totally different. But you go up to Ontario and out, they're way laid back. You know, apparently the Canadians have a stress problem too. It is estimated that 1 in 5 people in the workforce are experiencing some degree of mental health issue. In any week, 500,000 Canadians call in sick due to a mental health problem or illness. 500,000. Poor Canadians. Tell you what. I know. It also affects productivity through, you've heard of absenteeism, but how about presenteeism? When people come to work but are not productive and lost opportunity due to downtime. I'm almost done with these. Teaching unions. Back in the United States of America, teaching unions are warning of an epidemic of stress as research revealed that 3,750 teachers were signed off on long-term sick leave last year because of pressure of work, anxiety, and mental illness. Now, here's the most startling and the last one of all of them. 45% of teens... 45% of teens say that they are stressed, quote, all the time. Now, lest you be an old fuddy-duddy that says, what does a teenager have to be stressed about? We should be alarmed by this because of the rising epidemic of suicide among teenagers in America. With 45% of teens saying they're stressed out, we know that whether we're old or young, all kinds of factors want to rob the peace that we're looking for in our hearts. Things like financial pressure, things like relational turmoil. We wonder, with all of the families in America breaking apart and the divorce rates so high, no wonder teenagers feel so much pressure. No wonder teenagers feel so much stress. But while there are many sources of our stress, of our anxiety, of our fear at all ages, the scary factor is there are many coping mechanisms that we turn to. And I would submit that you have a coping mechanism and I have a coping mechanism for how we deal with our stress. Sadly, the coping mechanisms replace the work that God wants to do in our life. That's what we're going to talk about. So listen to this. 45% of teens say that they're stressed out all the time. Second part of the headline, turn to online resources and apps for help. Where do they go to find hope and to find answers for their stress that they do? Right here. But is it any wonder that I see lots of adults and we walk around sometimes like this? How is it that you deal with the pressures in your life? How is it that you deal with the anxiety that I don't doubt that you feel at times? How is it that you deal with the stress? For some people, food is a coping mechanism, right? You know what I'm talking about? For some people, I'm stressed out, I go to food. And that becomes my idol. That becomes where I turn, because when I'm enjoying that, I do not feel all the pressures around us. Teenagers often will sleep. And if a teenager, now teenager studies also show that teens need lots of sleep, so that's good. But often a sign of a teenager who is in depression or is dealing with serious amounts of stress is when they will sleep at strange hours, when they will excessively sleep, because that is the only time that things are blocked away. I went through a time in my life, not in high school, but in college, where I was under a lot of emotional stress, and I remember the only time when I had relief was if I would just go to sleep. All I wanted to do was go to sleep. And then when I woke up, all I would think about was, when will I get to go back to sleep? Maybe you've been there before. Those are coping mechanisms. Those are ways that we deal with the pressure around us. For others, it could be binging on Netflix. We have the ability now to find our favorite series or our favorite show and just watch hours and hours and hours and hours. And why do we do that? Because it allows us, just for a little while, to escape. It could be video games. And we take something and we say, you know what, for these hours, I don't have to think about anything else. I can plug into this imaginary world. Listen, it could be reading a novel. Okay, so I'm not trying to pick on different things that people do. It could be watching baseball, right? Okay? It could be all of these kinds of things. These are good pleasures in life, many of them, things that are given to us by God to enjoy. But when they become our source of escape, they will never, see what they are is they are like the idols of the Old Testament. If you've studied the Old Testament, you'll find that the prophets would speak against the nations where they had rocks for gods. You know what I'm talking about? People will take a rock and they'll carve a god, or a stone or wood. And the prophets would say, cry out to your gods and see if they answer you. And the people would cry out to their gods. And we know the foolishness of praying to a stone or praying to a piece of wood carved into the form of a god. But what we do when we seek outside sources of relief is we say, hey, Netflix, would you please give me some peace in my life? It offers a temporary escape, but there's no answer back. Well, if I have this snack, all right? You know about real things that real people deal with to escape their stress? If I have this, if I can just enjoy this pleasure right now, I'm going to escape the pressure, I'm going to escape the stress, right? So what does God say? Come back to the verse with me, Philippians chapter 4. Now do this with me, you ready? Some of you hate it when I do this stuff, and so you're going to have to forgive me, okay? But we're going to read it again. Now everybody ready? we've just got stressed out. If you're like me, you're like, man, now I'm really stressed. Because not only am I stressed, I have all the symptoms. It's like going on a WebMD, you know? I've got a cold. What is my disease? Cancer? 100%. I'm sure. I Googled it. It's like, if you're like me, you're like, what is this? Oh no, I'm stressed. I have all the symptoms of stress. And now I'm not dealing with it properly either. Great! I have a coping mechanism. Let's all do this. Ready? Breathe in. Breathe out. But more importantly, let's do that spiritually, and we're going to read verse number 7 again. Ready? Begin. And the... Stop right there. And the what? Peace of God. Continue. Which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now you'll notice this. Verse number 7 isn't... I said this is a prescription, right? But verse number 7 isn't the prescription, is it? It's actually the promise. Verse number 7 is right in the middle of it all. It's like, and the peace of God which passeth understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. You're like, that sounds great. That's what I want. That's where I want to be. I want to be, how many of you say yes? Yeah, amen. That's the place I want to be, where the peace of God which passeth all understanding is keeping my heart, keeping my mind through. That's where I want to be. Well, the good news is verses 4, 5, and 6 and verse 8 give you the prescription for how to get there and how to stay there. Number one, write it down. Number one, we're going to look at verse number 4. Here's point number one. Ready? Adjust your attitude with the joy of the Lord. Could you say that with me together? Ready? Adjust your attitude with the joy of the Lord. Look at verse number 4. Ready? Read this one with me out loud and good and strong from the beginning. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. I say then, adjust your attitude with the joy of the Lord. You say, I'm stressed out. Well, you know what? Sometimes it would do us good to just pause for a minute, evaluate our situation, and make an adjustment. You say, oh yeah? Well, I just don't have anything to rejoice about. What do you mean you don't have anything to rejoice about? It doesn't say rejoice in your situation always. It doesn't say rejoice in your circumstance. It doesn't say rejoice in your bank account. It doesn't say rejoice in your relationship. It says rejoice in the Lord. Do you know Jesus tonight? Amen? Are you saved? Has the Holy Spirit of God forgiven your sins? Are they washed away under the blood of Jesus? Do you serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords? Do you serve the ruler of all the universe? The God who said that He knows all of the birds, and He says, how much more does He care for you? It doesn't say rejoice in your circumstances. We can't always do that. Life doesn't always give us things to be happy about, does it? Listen, it's not a lot of fun when you have to work 2 or 3 jobs to support your family. It's not a lot of fun when you gotta just burn both ends of the candle to make ends meet. It's not a lot of fun when you're running here, when you're running there. It's not a lot of fun when health problems strike. But there's a constant in it all that we can rejoice in, that we know God. He knows us, and He is infinitely concerned with what goes on in our lives. Rejoice in the Lord. I just put down 2 simple things as I took notes on this passage. So adjust your attitude with the joy of the Lord. If you want, what's the prescription for peace? What do I got to do? Adjust your attitude with the joy of the Lord. In this verse, we learn that it's a priority. Rejoice in the Lord when? Always. And again, I say, in case you missed it the first time, in case you missed it, I said rejoice. Did you get that? I said rejoice, Paul says. It's a priority. And secondly, I put under there, it is not situational. It's not circumstantial. It's a priority. And as Christians, we have to stop from time to time, reflect on who God is, and say, I will rejoice in the Lord. Every Christian that goes around with a glum look and a miserable expression on their face and a miserable circumstance is a giant billboard to the world that says Christianity does not work. Now, I'm not saying you have to fake it and put on something bad happens and, hey, everything's great in my life. You can go through sorrow, but there's a true inner joy and peace. No, it may not always be expressed on your face. I understand that. But there is a joy, a rejoicing that you know God, that He knows you. But every Christian that goes through the world and does not have the joy of the Lord. It's a giant, Pastor Shetler used to say this all the time. You are a giant billboard walking around saying to the world, Christianity does not work. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. It's a priority, it's not situational. You say, but I just don't feel like rejoicing. What do you do when you don't feel like rejoicing? It's not a trick question. What do you do when you don't feel like rejoicing? Say it. Rejoice. Rejoice. Tony's going to go to the Bible and read it. Is that what you said? Amen. And you do that, you got something to rejoice about. Rejoice in the Lord always. When you don't feel like rejoicing, you know what happens? Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. What a great song that talks about that. Rejoice. It's a command. Rejoice in the Lord. And it's amazing if we will just obey God and say, you know what, God? I don't feel like it. I'm miserable. I'm grumpy. I'm stressed. I'm cranky. Hope nobody has to deal with me today. When we find that, when we're in those positions, we just say, you know what? Your word commands me to rejoice. You take that step. You rejoice in the Lord. And you know what He'll fill your soul with? Joy. Because joy is a work of His grace. It's not something that we conjure up. It's not something that we create within us. We decide to do it and we allow His Holy Spirit to produce joy. Remember, one of the fruits of the Spirit is love and joy. It's a fruit of His Spirit in our lives. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. So, what is the prescription for peace? If you got number one, it was adjust your what? With the joy of the Lord. Adjust your attitude with the joy of the Lord. Number two, ready for this one? Act thoughtfully. Let's say that together. Number two, what? Act thoughtfully. And there's a little extra description here. Ready for Christ's return. We find that in verse number five. Look at verse number five. So he says in verse number four, we're all leading up to verse seven where it says, and if this is present, then man, the peace that passes understanding is going to be there. That's what we want. Well, first of all, rejoice in the Lord. Secondly, he says, verse number five, let your, what's the word? Moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. This is a great verse. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. What is he saying here? This idea of moderation is really the idea of forbearance. There's a lot of words that could describe this. Forbearance, self-control. I'm using the idea of thoughtfulness that says, before I act, remember I'm saying act thoughtfully. Before I act, before I react, I'm going to let my thoughts be governed by the Holy Spirit of God. I'm going to let my actions and my attitudes be controlled by the Spirit of God. You say, well, that sounds pretty mysterious. How do I do it? You simply, and some of you have done this before, you simply pause, have a spiritual thought, and say, Lord, help me to control my emotions right now. Help me to control my response. Guess what God will do in that moment? He'll answer your prayer. Is there anybody here in the room that was faced with a situation, you can think back, you were faced with a situation, you stopped, you said, God, please guide my response now. Anybody ever done that and still gone way off and messed the whole thing up? Maybe. Maybe once or twice, maybe because your mind was in the wrong place. I think most of the time, God's answering that prayer. Because why? Because that's called walking in the Spirit. Galatians says, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if you sincerely call out to God in that moment and say, God, give me some moderation. God, give me some spirit control. Your self-control will only get you so far, but spirit-controlled moderation. Think about this. Moderate in our reactions. In our reactions. Whether it's a person or a situation that comes, how many of you know there are things that trigger you? Right? There are things that trigger you. Maybe it has to do with those blinkers that are supposed to be on that people don't use sometimes. Maybe that's a trigger for you. It's like, use your blinker, you know? Lord, help me to be moderate in my reactions. These are kind of lighthearted things, right? But how do you know there are serious things? It could be your spouse does something. You're like, really? Spouses like get on each other's nerves sometimes? It happens, right? Maybe there's something in your relationship with your spouse. where you know that your spouse acts a certain way, and for you that's a trigger, and it creates this reaction within you. This is real life stuff that the Bible's talking about. The Lord says, hey, moderation, spirit control in your reactions, in your, not just your reactions, but in your interactions, in your dealings with people. Do you fly off the handle? Do people set you off? How about in your speech? How about in the things that you say? Listen, kids, I want to tell you kids this, all right? Kids and teenagers, when you hear people talk a certain way, and they use all kinds of tough language and rough language, and they've got swear words, and they've got words that kind of sound close to swear words but really aren't. The Bible says, let our speech be seasoned with salt, that it may minister grace to the hearer. We have to say, Lord, give me words that are moderate. Give me words that are gentle. Give me words that will help people. Moderation. And then moderate in our reactions and our interactions with people, but then moderate in anticipation, excitement, enthusiasm for what? Why in this passage, you look at the verse again, it's verse number 5, why in this passage is he reminding us, hey, have some self-control, not self-control, some spirit control. Why? Because the Lord is what? At hand. Now that usually is a prophetic reference, at hand. In other words, something that's about to happen. It's right there. It's imminent. It could happen at any moment. He's talking about the return of the Lord. I mean, I don't want to put anybody in a guilt trip, but who wants Jesus to come back when you're in the middle of some awful argument with your spouse? Right? I mean, seriously, who wants Jesus to come back when you're screaming at somebody on the freeway because they didn't use their directional signal? Paul says, the Lord is coming back, but it shouldn't just be that he's coming back, but he's present with us in that very moment. Amen? He's there. He's at hand in that he could return, but he's at hand and he's present with us. Be moderate. Control your young men, old men. Control your thoughts, the desires of your body. Control them. Be moderate. Why? The Lord is at hand. Jesus is with you on that Snapchat conversation. Jesus is with you on that internet site. He's there. Where are you bringing him? Where are we bringing him? He's there in that interaction we have at work. He's there with us in these moments. And we wonder why we don't have any peace in our lives. We don't have any peace because we don't rejoice in the Lord. And we live in probably the least self-controlled generation in American history. Would you not agree with that? I mean, really, unless you pick on the millennials, I'd say it all started with the baby boomer generation. And you study the history. The most entitled generations in all of American history are us, all of us in this room. And it is only getting worse. And the Bible says, live lives of moderation, controlled by the Spirit. Joy of the Lord comes from the Spirit. The control of the Lord comes through the Spirit. This is our prescription for peace. We want peace? You want peace? Here it is. Thirdly, tonight, so we said, adjust your what? Your attitude. Yeah, you're tracking with me, man. This is great. Adjust your attitude. Act thoughtfully or moderately. Now, thirdly, I love this one in verse number 6. Answer your anxiety with your prayer life. Answer your anxiety with your prayer life. Look at verse number 6. Be careful for what? Now, the Bible uses this word careful two ways. One usage of the word is positive. Tonight's usage of the word is negative. Now, if you remember last week's message from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, or 2 Corinthians chapter 6, that church repented. We talked about repentance. And true repentance brought about a carefulness in their behavior. That carefulness was a positive thing. It's when before they acted, before they did things, they stopped. They assessed what they were going to do. They had fear of the Lord. They were carefully pleasing God. But this carefulness has nothing to do with that. This means full of care, or if you'll give me liberty, full of worry or anxious. Filled with anxiety. Worry. These people, they'd be careful. It says careful here. It's like, oh, they've got cares. They've got cares. Oh, I wonder how I'm going to pay the bills. Oh, I wonder how this is going to work out. I wonder, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Again, this is this balance between responsibility and planning and trusting the Lord. How many of you know what I'm talking about? We have a responsibility to plan and prepare and work hard and be responsible. But then on the other hand, we have to trust the Lord to meet our needs. Do we not? Amen. Jesus taught this. He says, look at the birds of the air. Look at the lilies and how the Lord takes care of them. Consider the lilies. How much more does your Father care for you? He'll meet your needs. Don't worry about tomorrow. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Tomorrow's got enough problems. Live today for the glory of God. Work hard, fulfill your responsibilities, obey the Word of God, and let God work out the results. Be careful for nothing. So I had a couple of notes under here. We're doing great for time, but I could give you a couple notes under this. You ready for them? There are no allowances for anxiety. How do I know that? Because what does it say? Be careful for nothing. How many of you know that you do a pretty good job? I mean, maybe somebody in here is just full of anxiety about everything. Well, we need to go back and follow some steps. But maybe you're in here and you do a pretty good job, but there's that one thing that really stresses you out. There's that one area where you just aren't trusting God with. There's no allowances for anxiety in the heart of a Christian. When you're just like a dejected, unrejoicing Christian is a giant billboard that says God doesn't work, a worrying Christian says, I don't believe God can meet my needs. He can't do it. A confident Christian says, I don't know how God's going to do this. I know I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm working hard. I'm fulfilling my responsibility. I don't know how it's going to work, but I know that God is going to take care of me. He promised to meet all my needs. Not all my wants. That's where moderation comes in. But He promised to meet all my needs. There are no allowances for anxiety. Be careful for nothing. So what's the response when you feel it? I said if you don't feel like rejoicing, you should what? Rejoice. If you feel anxious, what does this verse say you should do? Pray. 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 Respond, answer your anxiety with prayer. He says, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but He knows that we are prone to be careful for everything. But He says, be careful for nothing. So what do I replace that carefulness? What do I replace that anxiety with? But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. There are no allowances for anxiety, but then there are also no exceptions for prayer. Well, how do we know that? We saw, you guys were with me. You knew why there were no allowances for anxiety, but what here tells us there are no exceptions for prayer? There's nothing, in other words, to leave off the prayer list, because what's it say? Yeah. In what? Everything. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Man, I'm just really worried about this. Have you prayed about it? Have you brought it to the throne? Have you laid it down? Casting all your what? Care. Be careful for nothing. Casting all your care upon Him, for He what? Careth for you. He's got all your worry. He's doing all the worrying for you. But He doesn't have to worry because He's got it under control. Our care is worry. His care is under control. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Will you pray about it? Say, well, I don't know what I'm going to do here. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with what though? With what? With thanksgiving. How many of you know sometimes we're really good at praying according to our will and not according to His will? Have you found that to be true? We're really good about saying, God, this is what I want you to do for me. How about we start our prayer with, God, you know what I'm worried about, but first I just want to thank you for everything you've done. I just want to thank you for being a great God. I want to thank you that you already know how you're going to meet this need. You start your prayer like that, with praise, with thanksgiving. Watch the anxiety, watch the care begin to melt away. Prayer. No exceptions for prayer, and no replacement for your relationship with God. You see this here? He says, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, read the last part out loud with me. Ready? Let your requests what? Be made known unto God. What is ironic about that statement right there? Allow your requests to be made known unto God. He already knows. But what does the verse say we're supposed to do? Let him what? Let him know. Let God know what you're dealing with. Let God know what you desire. But wait a minute. How can I let him know what he already knows? Do you understand what the point is here? What does God desire? He wants to hear us say it. How many of you know that prayer is not so much about what God does for us, but prayer brings us into closer relationship with God? Prayer often aligns us with God's will. If you remember the Apostle Paul, if you've never studied this, a great, great example of prayer. Paul had this, the Apostle Paul had what he called a thorn in the flesh. Okay? This thorn in the flesh, we don't know exactly what it was, but he struggled with it. It was a bodily, physical affliction. And he prayed fervently three times. Three times he said, Lord, take this away. Lord, heal me. Lord, take this away from me. And God answered his prayer with, does anybody know what God said? He didn't say yes, and he didn't say no. He said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Paul wanted healing, but God wanted to give him grace. And Paul never prayed for that again. You know why? Because he didn't get the answer that he was looking for, but he got the answer that his soul needed. And prayer will do that. If we'll begin with thanksgiving, if we'll make our requests known unto God, you'll be amazed how over time God will begin to bring your heart into alignment with His will for your life. That's a wonderful thing. So, you want the prescription for peace? You've got to adjust your attitude with the joy of the Lord. Act moderately, thoughtfully, ready for Christ to appear. Answer your anxiety with your prayer life. Okay, I've done it. Well, what's the promise? Then if you'll do this, in verse number 7, the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I love this. First of all, the peace of God, he says, it passes understanding. The world, it's an answer, it's a hope, it's an inner tranquility that nobody can explain. It's incomprehensible with human understanding. It's something that only God can do. It's a peace that nobody can understand. And then what does that peace do? It keeps. That word keep means it guards. It protects what? What is the peace of God protecting? Your heart and your mind. Young people, teenagers, kids, your heart needs protection. Adults, older folks, our heart needs protection. We feel things powerfully. God says, my peace will protect your heart. But not only that, my peace will protect your what? Your mind. Deborah was, we were at a conference this week. She got to sit on a session with a woman who does lots and lots of counseling, biblical counseling, helping people. And she said the number one thing with people that have that deal with ongoing serious depression is they have habitual thought patterns that go in their mind that are unbiblical. Like over and over again. And they do this little exercise. When she starts the therapy with them, the biblical counseling, she says, I'm going to text you random statements throughout the week. She does this for 2 weeks. I'm going to text you random statements throughout the week, and I want you to give me quick answers. Don't think about them. I'm going to ask you about this, ask you about that. I just want you to respond. So she does that all for 2 weeks. Sends little texts, and the people respond with exactly how they feel. At the end of the 2 weeks, they print out all of those text responses. She sits down with the people and reads through them And every time those individuals who have no peace, depression, all this, every time they are amazed at how negative all their responses have been. Just little things. And they'll read through it and they'll get a picture of the thought patterns that go on in their minds. How many of you know that God wants to renew your mind? And verse number 8, I was going to preach on it, but we're out of time. Verse number 8 is the final piece of the puzzle. We finally got to that place where we have the peace of God. And it's guarding our hearts and it's guarding our minds. And verse number 8 says, now you need to stay in that place. Finally, brethren, I don't have it in front of me and I get them all out of order, so you're going to have to read it for me. Verse number 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things, keep going, are, whatsoever things are, pure, lovely, good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any what? Praise, then what to say? Think on these things. I'm going to end with this. Do you know why we don't stay in the peace of God? Because garbage in means garbage what? Out. You cannot fill your mind with all of the craziness of the world and all of the TV and all of the internet and all of the music and all of these thoughts and those thoughts and the worldly conversations. You can't fill your mind with all of that and say, well, I used to have the peace of God. Where did it go? Where did it go? You have to develop, activate spiritual thought patterns and begin your life saying, these are the things. Begin your day, but whatsoever things, is there virtue, is there praise? Think on these things. Was anything in this passage extremely complicated? Anything you need a PhD to understand? I said in Sunday school, a lot of the truths of the Bible, you don't need a PhD, you don't need a GED. You just need to read the Word of God. You just need to practice the Word of God and let the transformation of the Spirit of God work in your hearts. It's not complicated. Why is it so hard then? Because we have an enemy, and the battleground is in our minds. Let's let the peace of God, as the Bible says elsewhere, rule in our hearts and minds. And let the Lord Jesus be King of our hearts, of our minds, of our soul, and let's give our love and our devotion to Him. Is that passage of Scripture helpful? Amen? Let's be dismissed with a word of prayer. Father, we love You and we thank You so much that we could gather around Your Word tonight. And I pray that You'd help us to be hopeful, help us to be rejoicing and moderate and prayerful and to guard our thoughts and to focus on You. I pray for someone in here, Lord, that might be struggling tonight and they are worried. They don't have peace. Lord, I know that it's easier preached than lived. So I just want to pray for them tonight. And as a church, we come together right now and we want to pray for those that are dealing with anxiety and stress. I just pray that You'd help them and pour Your grace out in their lives. Help them to see that there is much to rejoice about. Help them to pray and cast their care on You. Help us to look around this week for those around us who we can minister this grace to. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.